about Mike Webb too.
I wasn't even approached. I approached Dark Horse. I'd heard that it was happening, but I never thought I would ever be involved with it. Chuck announced it at San Diego in 2013, I think. He just sort of made an offhand comment that he was going to do Fight Club 2 as a comic. I thought, oh, that's interesting. But I never dreamed that I would actually be involved with it. And then I heard that Dark Horse might possibly be the publisher. And I have a really good relationship with Dark Horse. I've done BBRD stuff, and they publish my graphic novels, Titulo. And so I called Scott Alley, the editor, and I was like, I really want to do this because I'm a huge Chuck Palahniuk fan. I've been a fan of his since the original Fight Club. I've read, you know, most of his novels, and I just thought it would be a really exciting thing. So I pretty aggressively pursued it and was asking them, you know, can I do this? Can I do this? And as kind of a test or a proof of concept, I, on my own time, adapted a chapter from the original novel near the end into a comic to just kind of show them what I would do with it if I was the artist on the book. And I think that went a long way, and Chuck really likes the sample pages that I did, and here we are.
What's it like working on something as big as Fight Club 2? Like, especially something that, you know, most people thought was, you know, the ending was pretty definitive, and something that a lot of people, understandably, when they hear something like Fight Club 2, is more like a why, you know?
Exactly, yeah. I mean, it's, you know, what's funny is a lot of people, you know, rolled their eyes or, you know,
I guess
really? Chuck Palahniuk needs, you know, some more money, and I'm like, if he needed money, if it was a cash grab, he wouldn't be doing comics. It's an actual, you know, thing that he wanted to do, and I think he was really interested in doing a comic. I don't necessarily know if it was always Fight Club that he only ever wanted to do as a comic, but I don't know. It's kind of an interesting thing because it's been so long since the original movie and the original novel. The novel was like 95, I think, and the
movie's like 97, 99.
Yeah, something like that. So I think there's a lot of distance from it, and Chuck has said that the original book and the movie were very much about anger at fathers, about, like, you know, absentee fathers, and now with all this time gone past, he's now in the age of being a father, and he can sort of re-examine that anger and that thing from a different perspective, and kind of, you know, try and have a little empathy for that. And so I think there's a lot of material there that's able to be explored. And the other thing is that this book goes in some really surprising directions, and one of them seems to be a kind of almost a metafictional commentary on the cultural response to Fight Club, and about how it's sort of grown much bigger. The idea has grown much bigger than the man, and has become woven into popular culture. And I think that's something that he was interested in exploring as well.
And you talk about how big it's gotten, especially, I think, Fight Club 2, it's very exciting just in the sense that a lot of the ideas in the first Fight Club, whether it be the ones that were explored in the movie and the novel, are still very true today.
Sure, absolutely.
So is that a little fun to sort of not only re-examine, but show in a different light, like, how has this not, it's changed, but not really in a lot
of ways. I mean, and that's the, I mean, a lot of the book so far is about that. It's kind of re-examining this stuff after some time has passed and seeing, you know, what's still relevant and what isn't, and how it can be, you know, how it can be looked at from a different angle.
And talk about the whole father thing. So what's that like, sort of picking up in the narrator's life where he's not as young, frustrated, and or in the sense where he's in the role that he once hated and was frustrated against?
That's right. He's now a father. This takes place 10 years after the original story. And he and Marla are married, and they have a child together who's now 9 years old. And he's in this, I don't think any of them are happy about it, really. I think they sort of, they're in this very mundane, passionless marriage. And
you see a lot of that in the art. The cover that, you know, was released, you see that it was like she's smoking a cigarette with a baby bump. He just looks as miserable as
exactly,
ever.
Exactly. They don't, and Tyler smiling above them, the both, lurking in the background, ready to come out. And So yeah, I mean, the key issue is that their the passion and the excitement have gone from their lives. The danger is gone as well, but which is a good thing, arguably. Yeah. But the passion and the excitement is gone, and so Marla tries to engineer a way for Tyler to come back in order to spice things up a little bit. And unfortunately, she lets the monster out of the cage. And
I had read that Chuck was talking about Tyler in terms of in a different light, that he might have been something that existed long before.
And yeah, he's I don't know how much I can speak to that, but we do learn a lot about Tyler and about the origins of Tyler and about the idea of kind of like memes and the of these ideas that are passed around and grow in strength and don't necessarily are not necessarily tied to one person, but kind of become something in a much broader sense. And we learned that the history of Tyler is much more complicated than what we received from this.
And what's the creative process and the collaborative process like on a book like this? Or like, how are you and Chuck talking and David, and what's that like? How's the ideas being bounced? Or was it something where you were given an outline and it's like, this is where we want to go?
Well, I have the whole script, which is actually kind of unusual in comics. Like, no comic I've ever worked on that has been a monthly series has had the entire thing written in entirety. So that's incredible. So, you know, I got the whole script. I live in Germany. I live in Berlin. And I flew out to Portland for the summer, which is where Chuck lives. And we got together frequently, and we would have these story meetings and art meetings and everything to try and kind of get on the same page about what we wanted to do. I wanted to make sure that I was servicing Chuck's vision correctly, so I would do some drawings and have him point at the ones that he liked. And we just wanted to get familiar with each other and comfortable with each other and kind of knew where we were going together, you know. And so now I've returned to Germany, and I just have this monster script, it's a couple inches thick. And Chuck has never written a comic before, so his script is very different than most comic scripts that I've read, in which he hasn't broken it down into pages. He's just sort of written, he's described individual panels, but he's described them all just consecutively. So it goes panel 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, all the way up to panel 980 or whatever. It's my job to now go in and parse all of that out and break it down into pages and figure out how much I need to include on every page, how much, you know. Dark Horse has been really great about this, and they're saying that it's not going to be limited by page count.
Yeah.
So every issue will be exactly as long as it needs to be, which I think is great. It's very freeing for me as an artist. I don't want to be indulgent with it and go too crazy and, you know, deliver a 90-page comic.
Yeah.
It's, you know, but one of the things I always find frustrating is trying to be, you know, fit into that 22 pages all the time. And so this one, if I need to be 23, 24 pages or 26 pages, it'll happen. It's just going to be, you know, whatever feels right and natural for the book. I'm just going in and breaking all of this script down and trying to separate it into pages and figure out what all the beats are and where all the scenes need to be broken up. And it's great because I actually feel like a true collaborator that way, instead of just, you know, executing a script and not really having a lot of influence.
Yeah.
And Chuck's been really great. He's been very open to changes. We, at one of these meetings I mentioned, we actually kind of talked out a new ending to the book. That was really exciting. We were just sitting around talking, and someone had this idea. I can't remember who had the idea, but this idea came up, and we're like, "Oh my God, that would be perfect for the ending." And we kind of talked it out, and Chuck went and revised it, and now that's the ending of the book.
Yeah.
So it's fun to be involved in the creative process.
How crazy is that? You know, you're a fan, and now you're, you know, putting in ideas for the ending of
absolutely
really
crazy.
What is possibly the end of this story.
Yeah, it's really crazy. I mean, it's really great to be... I mean, I have enormous respect for him as a writer, and he seemingly has respect for me as an artist, and it's great to feel like we're, you know, peers like that. So yeah, it's super exciting.
And to go back to Tyler a little bit, I know you can't go into too much detail, but especially where we live in a world where ideas travel really fast and cults really become cults within seconds, you know.
Yep.
And the novel and the book, there was time, there was a slow burn with Tyler really getting that influence.
Yep.
Will that play a factor, like social media and just the way the time has changed? Right?
I don't know about that so much. I mean, there's definitely still the idea of ideas being transmitted at a rapid rate, and Project Mayhem is still, and the Fight Clubs are still there. Yeah. They're still going on, and have evolved beyond Tyler, and have evolved beyond the narrator. And the narrator attempts to actually get re-involved with it, and it doesn't go exactly the way that he wants it to, I guess.
And is there any, like, specific ideas that you like that maybe the comic was exploring that maybe the novel and the movie didn't get to?
Yeah, I mean, I really like the thing that really surprised me reading the script was the kind of the metafictional aspects of it, and this idea that it's... in a lot of ways, this kind of examination of how Fight Club has permeated our culture and how people responded to it in a particular way that maybe was not the way that was initially intended or whatever. And there's a lot of there's a lot to chew on in there, and the book does kind of go in that sort of direction, but in a way that I think is going to be really surprising to people. And baffling, and maybe might anger some people. I don't know. I mean, I can't wait to see the reaction to the